Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime.
Here in Boston, Broadway is our record company.
Indeed.
Okay, so who are we rolling with then? We rolling with Rush, our Rush Town Management. Check this out. Because we're talking over this deaf beat right here that I put together, I want to hear some of them deaf rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And together, we can get paid and paid and paid. Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deep up, still coming up the lynch. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, cause there's a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. You still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9 to 5. If I strive, then maybe I stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, this man do I miss. A pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape for me and Eric being a nice big plate of this, which is my favorite dish. But without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid. So I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Then I test to see if I got cold. Hit the studio, cause I'm paid
for. All right, don't get freaked out. This ain't the Rap Attack, but I had to show some respect to the fine gentleman, Eric B. and Rakim. Tomorrow is the 25th anniversary of the Paid in Full album, which was released. I cannot believe I'm actually going to say this. What was released just before my 18th birthday. I thought I was younger than that.
No. Oh, it was released before.
Yeah, just before
so
my 18th birthday.
Just the 20th.
The 25th anniversary.
Oh, that's right. It is. I was 12.
Are you, were you 12?
Yeah.
Wow. So just before my 18th birthday, July 7th, 1987, that classic jam. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't know this. By the way, it's Reese on the radio, of course. 3 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. July the 6th, 2012.
11.
Huh?
Actually, I was still 11.
Okay, you were still 11 because, yeah, it was just before, about a
I
month before 12. You turned 12.
Yeah.
Wow,
sixth grade.
So I just have to give credit to that. To give you a perfect example of what how impactful this song was in the African-American community, was that this song was on, was probably on the top of the charts. This was the jam for 16 months. Came out the summer.
Love, I mean, the whole album. I love Eric B. and Rakim.
Yeah, you're, Mary is a huge
I met them.
Fan of Eric B. and Rakim. Who'd you meet? Did you meet them?
I
or
met
just...
both of them on Boston's Hillside.
You met both of them? You know, they hung out. That was the thing about rap artists back then. You can see them in, if they were from Queens or Long Island, you could see them in your neighborhood all the time. They were just like regular people. There wasn't this whole bodyguard thing going
and
on.
And it wasn't like people would see them and be like,
yeah, all that stuff. They were just, they were excited,
it
but it wasn't,
like
they weren't
Justin
going nuts.
Justin Bieber fever.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
People were excited, but it was just, it was normal to see them on a regular basis.
Yeah,
so
they were really local, and they were kind of like your local heroes, so you didn't, that fanfare wasn't nuts or anything like that. So I definitely have to show them respect. And I got to give Boogie a personal shout-out for sending that that email to me today. Thank you, Boogie. I appreciate that, and you know how much I respect Eric B. and Rakim.
You thought I was a donut. You tried to glaze me.
Which is actually a line against the Janet Jackson "What Have You Done for Me Lately" song.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
If you listen to that entire
that's
song,
that's one of my favorite record by them, though.
Yeah, the original, when this song was recorded, Paid in Full, the original song was supposed to be a response record. Not the first verse, but that last verse, when he's talking about a girl, the song originally was supposed to be a response record to Janet Jackson's What Have You Done For Me Lately. And that's why I said,
in fact, let me see if I can fast forward it to that actual line, which should come up. Hold on. Let's see if I can move it up to you here.
So what happened to Pete?
No. I didn't. Did I really go that far? Why am I not? I guess it's only a short person.
I don't like to dream about getting paid.
Wait, what? Let's see what this is. I'm not finding the actual verse. And it's not playing. So, okay. Well, it doesn't always. But the last verse of the song is, first you said, what have I done for you lately? You know, he's actually talking about Janet Jackson. The original song, To This Beat, was supposed to be a Janet Jackson response record, which a lot of people were doing back in the hip-hop era.
Yeah, they were going,
some fame,
going, you know, back and forth.
Right. Salt and Pepper, you know, their claim to fame was a song called The Showstopper, which was a response record to Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick.
A
song called The Show. So that's how pretty much a lot of people got their fame and notoriety.
Another favorite.
Them. Who, Salt and Pepper? Or all of them. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
but The Show, you know,
yeah,
I mean, come
absolutely.
On. That was ridiculous.
So I wanted to show
and that. I can't tell you how many damn Roxanne, Shantae, Roxanne this, Roxanne that.
You know,
all them damn Roxanne's, period.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Do you know that the Roxanne record prompted more hip-hop responses than any other rap song in history? In fact, the number, I believe, is somewhere between 25 and 30 response records to the song Roxanne. Everybody
Roxanne,
from Roxanne's grandmother. Roxanne's grandmother had a response record. That's how bad it was.
I like that song, too.
Roxanne?
Mm-hmm.
That was a great song. Produced, of course, by one of my my personal friends, the guys over at
Full Force. Right.
Like Lou and Paul, they're all good friends, and they've always shown support. So 25 years, man, that's... It's hard to believe that was 25 years ago, huh?
It's hard to believe I was in sixth grade. I just graduated from PS86.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I want to make sure that everybody knows this. By the way, again, it's Reese on the Radio, July the 6th, 2012. I want to make sure that I mention this. JC, what happened yesterday, but Murder, Death, Kill is a hit.
Was it?
It is such a hit, you wouldn't believe it. Murder, Death, Kill is absolutely, it's everybody saying this is absolutely phenomenal. But now everyone wants to know who gets shot, killed, maimed, or dies on the 4th of July. I think it's perfect. What's that? Or blown up. I think everyone likes this new holiday.
I think Oliver Stone wrote the story about the guy with the bullet in the lip and the necklace and the bottom lip and the upper denture and the left earlobe and all that crap.
And then the friend's back.
And then hitting the friend's back.
And dropping to the ground.
I think.
Fizzling out.
Murder, Death, Kill. We have to do that. I wish that we could do it more often, but I'm saving it for the 4th of July. I think it could be a perfect theme for the day after the 4th of July. I'm sorry.
Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill. Murder, death, kill.
I think it works beautifully. I love it. Okay, plenty of news to get into today. The jobs report came out today. And, of course, it was dismal. Did you hear about the jobs report today? 80,000 jobs.
Have been created.
That's
in the month of June.
In the month of June, 80,000.
However, the percentage of unemployment has not moved.
That's right. 80,000 jobs, 80,000 jobs created.
And they're still 8.2%,
right? Unemployment rate is at 8.2. That's up from 8.1 last month.
Oh, okay.
That's up, not down, up from 8.1. If you've read any report, they won't even tell you what the jobless rate was last month. It was 8.1. It got down to 8.1. Now it's back up to 8.2. Here's another report they're not giving you, ladies and gentlemen, is that the unemployment rate for African Americans has jumped from 13.6 to 14.2.
That's because all the Mexicans took their jobs.
Probably. Probably with the amnesty that took place with the executive order, don't enforce the law, allow these young Mexicans who came here through no fault of their own, I love that terminology, allowing them to get jobs, taking them from African Americans who don't want them, Vicente Fox. And now the black people are losing jobs at an even higher rate. Their unemployment rate is ridiculous. But I would like to help out the Obama administration.
For the love of Jesus, what, have you lost your car?
I have got, there's a way to spin this, and I've got the spin, folks. Barack Obama can spin this in his favor. Look, he spent 3 years blaming Bush. Okay, and now that's waning. Nobody's believing that anymore. There's a way to spin this new jobs report.
And what might that be?
Okay, follow me, folks. Follow me. Follow me. Okay. Last month, Barack Obama was doing a lot of fundraisers, wasn't he? In June, he was all over the place, wasn't he?
Yep.
And everybody was coming to see him, weren't they?
Everybody except for the illegal Mexicans.
Well, that's fine, but people were coming to see him, right? They were all coming to see him. Think about it. How Barack Obama can spin this is by saying one thing. My fellow Americans, last month I was campaigning everywhere. And people were coming to my campaign fundraisers or speeches to find out how it is that they could help reelect me. How are you going to look for jobs when you're coming to see me? And the reason why they're coming to see me is because they don't want to see Mitt Romney become the president of the United States. And so the reason why people did not go out and get jobs is because of Mitt Romney. Because more people wanted to stop him than go find work. Spun. Completely spun. Come on, you got to give me my credit. Come on, man.
You lost your damn mind.
Come on, I can do this. If I worked at the Obama campaign, I would freaking, that you crazy, I'd get a raise.
You know what, but you know what? You'd fit right in with the other sneaks that's around on that one on the fail.
Now, give me my phone.
You're getting applause for that one. You get no applause for that one.
I want Romney to be the next. It would work. Come on, man. This son of a bitch.
It would work. It would work.
Listen, yeah, it would.
There you go. There you
it
go.
It would work on these dumbass people that are going to go vote for
it. It would work on the black people.
The real talk glances would be
listen,
like.
Listen. It would only fit in with the rest of the lame ass excuses he's had for every other failed policy or anything he's ever done since he's been elected.
Casey, we know that. You, myself, Reese, we know that.
But he
However,
could use it.
However, he could use it because them dumbasses would take it.
The Real Talk Blancers would go, Reese, you got a point. The Real Talk Blancers would say, Reese, you got a point. I agree. It's because more people are concerned about keeping Barack Obama as the president of the United States
than they are in
than they are in looking for work
and making some paper.
They would totally do that
because they're already on the dole anyway.
They would totally agree with it. They would say, "That's right, that's exactly right. We don't want him to be there. We ain't gonna look for no jobs,
and we ain't got to because we're about to get everything we want for free."
I cannot believe these people are calling me after 8 o'clock. They know I do a show. They know I do a show. I mean, do I have to curse these people out? I'm about to curse them out now.
Oh, for the love of
God. That's right. I'm going to do it now. Now I got to do it. I got to do it. You know I got to do it.
Oh, my God. Don't do it.
Oh, no, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, why can't I do it?
Don't do it.
Why not? We're going to put his number in. JC, I'm going to give you a number. I want you to dial this number and put them on the phone. They're calling me during my show. They have absolutely no respect for me doing my show. And he will say, oh, no, I don't want to come on the air. Nah, you want to call me if it's that important? Let's find out what it is that you want. I gave you the number, JC. Call him. Put him on the phone. Find out whether or not they want to talk. Just say, hey, this is JC, the producer for Reese on the Radio. He'll know. And just say, is it that dire? Tell him if he wants to come on the air. He's actually a good dude. He's not that bad. I'm just teasing him right now. But I'm still going to put him on the air.
You want him live or you want him?
What's that?
Do you want him live or do you want him on the bubble?
You get him on the phone and let him know that Reese is going to put him on the air.
Okay.
Calling me during my damn show. I'll give you another number, too. You want to call another coworker of mine. The cookout we went to. We might get him on the phone, too.
Oh, Lord.
We might get him on the phone just to have some fun.
Please hold while the subscriber you are trying to reach is located.
Well, you got to put him in the queue, man.
Oh,
apparently not. Did I have to give you the wrong number? Maybe I gave you the wrong number. That's okay. We'll get him on. Yeah, that's the right number.
He's
gone. Oh, okay. He's letting me know that he's passing my house. What's that even? Is that even relevant? So what? Get him on the phone.
There you go, calling you right now.
He must be listening.
What's that?
He must be listening. He's hiding behind his voicemail.
No,
try him again. He just called.
He just
tried to call back again. Let's see if we can get him on the phone. Anyway, to get back to my point, and where the hell was I? Oh, Barack Obama. The bottom line is that this would work. Everybody is responsible for the horrible job numbers. It ain't his fault. It's not his policies. It's the Eurozone. It's Merkel in Germany. It's England. Sarkozy's fault. It's everybody else's fault. President doesn't even seem to be responsible for what it is that's going on.
I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he knows you want him on the air.
What's that?
I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he knows you want him on the air.
Oh, he does? He knows that you... So why won't he go on the air?
No. I'm not going to tell you what he said, but he knows that you want him on the air.
Okay, so put him on.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Don't you know that we're on the air?
I didn't know. My fault.
No big
deal. Well, now you're on the air, bud.
You just walking home?
Yeah, man, I'm right out front of your house right now.
Okay, I heard. What's going on?
Nothing, man. I was coming by to give you all that money I owed you. I was going to stop by and give it to you.
For what?
Yeah, I'm just getting home, man. I'm just making my way home.
Thank you, behind on home, man. Relax, man. It's 8 o'clock in the night, man. You're supposed to be home resting. We had to deal with 97, 100-degree weather out there. Get in that house, man, and go relax.
Hey, that's why I'm on my way, buddy. I was just passing by. I thought I'd call you.
No problem, man. You're finally on the show, man. If you got nothing to do, man, just call in so you can listen in, man, because we're going to talk about everything today. We got to talk about your boy Barack Obama. We're going to ruin that guy today.
I'll try to tune in when I get to the house, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Have a good one.
All right, Reese.
All right, man. Anyway, you said, JC, you said you wanted to tell me what it is that he said?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to, like, you know, put that business out there. Why he was stopping by.
Oh, no. So what? I don't care. You know, everybody owes me money.
No, but that's not the world's business, though.
Yeah, I know that, but everybody owes me money. Come on. They always tell me the whole line. This is my favorite line when I was growing up. They used to say, as long as I owe you money, you'll never be broke.
That's
you know that stupid line.
My mama used to say. my mama used to say that right after she used to tell my oldest brothers when they got on her nerves that they make her ass want to pop gum.
They make her ass want to pop gum?
That's my mother's line.
How do you know what that means?
I have no idea either. But when she said that, duck.
That is like the most vile thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I kid you not. It's one of the craziest things. And listen, speaking of vile things, a little bit later when we get done with this, I'm going to read you an ad that was in Hartford's Craigslist.
Hartford's Craigslist?
A Craigslist ad, yeah. And missed opportunities. I'll read it after.
Well, one don't forget, today we have got to get back into our conversation that we had last night at 10 o'clock. We're going to get James back on the phone. Of course, Mike and Edward are going to join us again. Because I've got to give credit to Mike and Edward. You know, our friendly neighborhood.
6 o'clock this morning.
6:45, maybe 6:30 this morning. Edward and Mike, it was like these guys were simpatico. They emailed me at 6:40-something this morning. Okay? It probably even 6:30 this morning. They emailed me stats on these numbers. On the discussion we had yesterday about crimes against different races, whites on blacks and blacks on whites. They were on top of this in the morning, and I love these guys. So at 9 o'clock, we're going to get these guys on the air. We're going to also get James back on the phone. Kool-Aid Man, we're going to get him back on the phone, and we're going to discuss these numbers. And we're going to get
Friday night, so you know Kool-Aid Man may be into his
that's right.
Second, third, maybe even fourth 2-11.
That's right. You know he's got that 2-11 popping. So it's going to be a hot night tonight. So I expect every bit of that. So again, we'll get into each and every, we'll get into all of those numbers. And I got some other stuff too, man. I got to tell you about this story that I believe is the most damaging story to Brad Pitt that I've ever seen in my entire life. I believe
really?
That this, oh, dude, this story proves to me that Brad Pitt is either a moron or he's changed his views to suit Angelina Jolie. And this news comes from his mama.
Damn.
His mama. Okay? Now, you've never heard Brad Pitt ever disparage or disrespect his mama. You sometimes don't even hear anything about her. But his mama put out an op-ed piece in a local newspaper. And when I break down the details of this letter that she wrote to the editor in the local newspaper, you're going to be baffled. So we'll get to that when we return, plus some other news, because there's plenty of other news when we get back. I promise you we'll get into that. Just stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and you'd be stunned at some of the people who call up to spend some time with Reese on the radio. He is the godfather of entertainment, Mr. Michael Lohan. Mr. Lohan!
Reese, I have to stop laughing before we continue. I don't know how to respond to this. Am I in the Twilight Zone?
you are in the Twilight Zone. On the phone with us right now on Reese on the Radio is the connoisseur of the Hollywood biz, the father of the famed actress Lindsay Lohan. Mr. Michael Lohan is on the show on Reese on the Radio. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
No, thanks for having me, Reese. It's going to be a lot of fun, I can tell already.
Oh, man, you have no idea how much fun we're going to have today. It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mary, Mary, why you bugging?
James, you're on the air.
Yep.
Before you say anything, you are just going to come clean right now, okay? I'd like to know the adult beverage you're enjoying.
The come adult on. Beverage? Yeah, I'm drinking beer.
What kind of beer are you drinking, James? Is it a 211?
Oh, yes.
You're drinking a 211?
Yes.
You're drinking 211 Steel Reserve.
Right now.
The reason why it's called Steel Reserve, and it's called 211 for that matter, is that the police code, 211, means robbery in progress.
And don't let me tell you what that 211 has stolen from you tonight, my man.
It's Reese on the Radio, weeknights, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward, and the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours. A great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
there's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on ReSun Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Warning, the sounds you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Reese on the Radio, we're back. 31 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Mary, Mary, while you're bugging, do me a favor. Make sure that you get James Montgomery on the phone within the next 29 minutes. Let him know that he's going to be live on the air. Mike in Florida, our good friend, and our resident stat man, because he gets all the information. Let me tell you, if I may, let me tell you guys why I really, really love Mike. Mike has info that even I don't have. And as most people know, I've got it all. I've got it all. But Mike goes deep. Mike is like an NFL quarterback. He's Tom Brady in this bitch. He goes deep and he connects. He does. Now, I'm not going to lie. I ain't a fan of Tom Brady because he plays on a rival team. But I know how good he is. And that's how good Mike is. Mike's that good. Mike goes deep. Now, he's a personal trainer.
Now, wait a minute. Why didn't you reference Eli Manning, which is the quarterback
who
of
beat Tom Brady?
The Super Bowl champion?
You're absolutely right. You know what?
Tom Brady, not once.
You know what?
Twice.
Then fine. I recant what I say, then I'll say this. Mike is like Tom Brady during the NFC Championship game in 2008, where he was throwing those balls to the sideline to Plexico Burress. That's how accurate Mike is. He's that good. Because I thought that was a phenomenal game that Eli played against the Green Bay Packers.
And what?
When they came out there with no sleeves on. And they were underdogs. I think they were like 16
points. But that's both times that we've gone to the
Super Bowl. You're absolutely right. That's right. That's right. But my point.
The last two times.
That's right. But no, my point is you're absolutely right. If I were to say the precision of Mike in Florida, I would equate it to Eli Manning in that game against the Green Bay Packers. In Green Bay.
Throwing the Packers.
Well, I said Tom Brady because, you know,
you said Tom Brady throwing the Plexico.
No, I'm sorry. Eli Manning throwing the Plexico. I apologize. Thank you for that. So Mike sends me a tweet, and he sends me a little information about a little-known band that we know.
That has the strangest name ever.
Yeah, not only do they have the strangest name, but they have an Oscar award.
You know it's hard out here for a pimp. When he's trying to get this money for the friends.
Out for winning.
Like a cash money spent. Will cause a whole lot of business.
Did you know that 3-6 Mafia? They got an Oscar for that song.
No, I didn't know.
Yes, they did. Apparently,
Crunchy Black,
who left the group in 2006, has been shot in the face.
He's been burned.
Okay, first of all, not only did he get shot in the face, he got shot in the face at like some 3:30 in the morning. on July 1st in Las Vegas.
Well, wait, when do people normally shoot people in the face?
Anytime after 11.
At
p.m. That, after 11 p.m. Okay. That's usually when somebody gets, this is what I used to tell my kids. When kids always want to say, can I stay out till midnight? Nothing good happens after 11. You bring your ass in the house by 11 o'clock. Because after 11 o'clock, that's when all hell breaks loose. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, my ass, get in the house. You get in the house. I don't want to hear anything about your friends are doing this. I don't raise your kids. Get in the goddamn house. I don't hear any bull crap about your friends staying out till midnight. Let them get shot in the face. Your friends, I know your friends, and I know you. This is what I tell my kids all the time. I know your friends, and I know you. You are not an 11 o'clock news story. Because the only 11 o'clock news story there is a bad one. You see, you kids are more of like morning television. You know, the Today Show, Good Morning America. You know, the CBS Morning Show. That's what you are. You're the kid who's out there making a difference. You're the kid that's doing charity work or giving all of his Christmas money to needy kids. That's who you are. You want to end up on 11 o'clock news? Yeah, I'll let you stay out until midnight. You're in a car accident with a drunk driver. Huh? You're texting while driving. You're following a bunch of morons to Brooklyn. Yeah, that's right. Going to Brooklyn. That's right. I just took a big fat Shatner on Brooklyn. I spit on you in the entire borough of Brooklyn. You're straight garbage. Let me get back to my point. Anyway. So Brad Pitt. I needed to bring this up. Now, if there's anybody out there who knows, Brad Pitt is a gay lover. Well, he is, folks. He is. He's a gay lover. He loves the homosexual something deep. I don't know what that's about. I don't know where it came from. But I can only assume it's from Angelina Jolie. You know, it's eccentric, weird, different, exotic. You know, that turned a little farm boy on. You know? Never experienced anything. She went out there. He married America's sweetheart, Jennifer Aniston. He used to date Gwyneth Paltrow. Apparently likes niggas in Paris, but that's another story. But he was dating America's sweetheart. Blonde, nice-looking white girl, all-American white girl, Jennifer Aniston. I'd have dumped my broad for Jennifer Aniston. I'd have put a bullet in her. Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston would have came up and said, Reese, I think we should date. Okay, the bitch must die. Jennifer, I'm with you. But what did he do? Brad Pitt does a little movie called Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And Angelina Jolie probably got him interested in some weird stuff. You know what, Brad? Have you ever had your prostate pulled? Have you ever had a cucumber in your nether regions? I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. Angelina's a weirdo. And you know she is. Next thing you know, he's dumping this beautiful woman, Jennifer Aniston, salt of the earth, with some dark weirdo who nobody knows, kisses her brother on the mouth. Next thing you know, he's with her. They're adopting babies from foreign lands. Istanbul, Brazil, Okeechobee, whatever. Next thing you know, they've got an entire United Nations living in their household. But see, I knew there was something fishy about Brad Pitt. I knew there was something really fishy about Brad Pitt. So let's start from the get-go. So Brad Pitt gets with Angelina Jolie. Everyone's asking after the years of adopting all these children and then finally having one of their own, proving that they can reproduce. They got a black one, a white one, a Malaysian one, an orange one, whatever. They got all these kids walking around with a Crayola factory of children. So everybody asks, look, you got all these kids. When are the two of you going to get married? And so what do these morons do? They turn around and they say, we are not going to get married until everyone, gay or straight, can get married too. So we will live in sin in front of our children. And we will teach our children that two people who love each other will not make it official, so that you can grow up and just dump babies in the broad you're sleeping with. And the dude that you're sleeping with can dump a baby in you too. And you don't have to get married. But then obviously the kids watched maybe an episode of real television and found out that there are mommies and daddies out there. And they're looking at mommy and daddy and they're going, well, daddy, your name is Brad Pitt. And mommy, your name is Angelina Jolie. Why isn't mommy's name Angelina Pitt? Are you not married, mommy and daddy? And so finally they turn around and go, yeah, we're going to get married. So they pull back on their earlier claim that, you know, they don't want to get married until everybody can. And they finally decide they're going to get married. Now, again, this hypocrisy caught my attention. And I wait. I always wait patiently, ladies and gentlemen. I wait patiently. I wait patiently for the story to come. It will come to me. I know it will. The truth is out there. And it turns out that Brad Pitt's mama don't like the gays. Or at least when it comes to gay marriage. Here's the report. This was a report logged by a Ron Recinto. It was posted on Yahoo. You can read it yourself. Brad Pitt once said he wouldn't marry Angelina Jolie until everyone, gay or straight, had the same right. Apparently his mother doesn't share his views. In a letter to her hometown paper, the Springfield, Missouri newsreader, Jane Pitt, writes that Christians, like herself, should not refuse to vote for Mitt Romney just because he's a Mormon. The published response to an earlier opinion in the paper describes President Barack Obama's opponent for president as a family man with high morals, business experience, who is against abortion and shares Christian conviction concerning homosexuality. Jane Pitt's letters continues. This is a quote. Any Christian who does not vote or writes in a name is cast. Sorry, let me start that over. Any Christian who does not vote or writes in a name is casting a vote for Romney's opponent, Barack Hussein Obama, a man who sat in Jeremiah Wright's church for years, did not hold a public ceremony to mark the National Day of Prayer, and is a liberal who supports the killing of unborn babies and same-sex marriage. She concludes with, I hope all Christians give their vote prayerful consideration, because voting is a sacred privilege and a serious responsibility. The newspaper even verified the identity of the letter's author in an editor's note. It says, quote, to clear up earlier confusion, the news leader has verified the letter writer is the mother of actor Brad Pitt and local businessman Doug Pitt. Brad Pitt worked with George Clooney in the play 8, a YouTube stream reading that charted the proceedings in a federal appeals court hearing that deemed Proposition 8, a California ban on same-sex marriage, as unconstitutional. Pitt has been vocal about his support for same-sex marriage. Brad Pitt told People magazine in 2011, no state should decide who can marry and who cannot. Thanks to the tireless work of so many, someday soon the discrimination, oh, this discrimination, will end and every American will be able to join the equal right to marriage. Well, this could make an interesting discussion. Should Pitt and Angelina make their kid, take their kids to visit Grandma Jane in Missouri? Now, what does this mean? What does this really mean? Was Brad Pitt corrupted by Angelina Jolie about gay marriage? I tend to agree. Come on. Come on. Can anybody name a movie where Brad Pitt kissed another man? Even Will Smith has done that. And he doesn't like the homosexuals. You saw when he
and that is, that, that's the Hollywood standard now. You have to play a gay role in order to show your acting chops.
That's right. That's how you get an Oscar nomination nowadays. You got to play
a
homosexual.
If you want one.
What'd you say, JC?
If you want one, look at Ving Rhames.
Hey, I go back to John Leguizamo, Patrick Swayze, and Wesley Snipes into Wong Fu.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
One of the greatest movies of all time, according to most people. Terrence Stamp, who played Zod in Superman 2.
Yes.
That's right. He was in Priscilla.
Priscilla of the Desert.
That's right. They've all done it. Look at, what's his name? Jude Law. Loves playing a homosexual. Can't live without it.
No, I didn't see the movie. I didn't see the movie, but didn't Tom Hanks?
Philadelphia. That's
yes.
Not the one. That was his second Oscar. I mean, sorry. That was his first Oscar. Homosexual dying with AIDS. Oscar! I mean, it's the reason why we play this bit. Usually in our monologue, in the opening of the show, let me play it for you because I want to find it right now. It's a bit we call Full Retard from the movie Tropic Thunder. And it's exactly what Hollywood, you know, it's Robert Downey Jr. clearly making fun of the Hollywood elites, but it makes a valid point. This is how you win an Oscar.
You're serious? You don't know. Everybody knows you never go full retard.
What do you mean?
Check it out. Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man, look retarded, act retarded, not retarded. Count two picks, cheat cards, autistic, sure, not retarded. You got Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Slow, yes, retarded, maybe, braces on his legs, but he charmed the pants off next to him and won a ping pong competition. That ain't retarded. He was a goddamn war hero.
Right.
You know any retarded war heroes? You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
That's right. In order to win an Oscar. And the scene is, it's Ben Stiller talking about his role and saying why he wasn't considered for an Oscar. And he says, you never go full retard. And he breaks down. The most important part is, he talks about I Am Sam, played by Sean Penn. And Sean Penn plays a 100% disabled person, mentally disabled person. He got an Oscar nomination, but he didn't win. Because you're not allowed to go full retard.
Yeah, you know who else did that too?
Who's that?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. in radio.
And where is he now?
Yeah, exactly. And that was supposed to be a critically acclaimed film. That was supposed to bring
yes.
him back to prominence.
True story.
That was supposed to bring him back. Somebody told him, hey, you want to win an Oscar? You
like,
want to really
show
get...
me the money?
Yeah, well, again?
That was supposed to be his show me the money.
Ah, but you know what? See, this is what I always say. Not since Louis Gossett Jr. And I know I'm going off in, I'm going off in another direction, but this is what I always said. Not since Louis Gossett Jr. has there ever been an Academy Award winner who is black who played a strong black role. Louis Gossett Jr. playing the sergeant in an Officer and a Gentleman. Won that because he was gritty, he was mean, he gave Richard Gere a hard time. Richard Gere wasn't even considered. But Louis Gossett Jr., he was a hard man. He was a strong black man. Look at another perfect example. I mean, you couldn't even say that about Morgan Freeman when he won in Million Dollar Baby. Or when he was nominated for Unforgiven. When Cuba Gooding Jr. wins, hey, I'll go back further than that. Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Damn.
She played a charlatan. She played a fake-ass psychic. A comedic foil.
A con psychic.
Yeah, she was a comic foil. She was a coon.
Cooning and buffooning.
That's right. And then you got to wait until, who do you, Halle Berry. You don't remember what, you remember what Angela Bassett said when she protested the Academy Awards that year? She is sick and tired of black people getting nominated for Denzel Washington playing a crooked cop the same year that Halle Berry won for playing a whore. Angela Bassett didn't win for playing a strong black woman who came out of bondage and her ass whipped. She didn't get no award for playing Tina Turner.
That was she.
Damn, what's love got to do with it?
Yeah, she should have got an award for that.
Of course. It's her claim to fame. Look at Monique. Monique won. What'd she win for?
For, what
Precious.
Call it? Yeah.
Right?
Which was so, that was an awkward movie.
Yeah, and she played an awkward role.
She did.
She played a
if
mean.
If anybody, Precious, the girl that played Precious should have won.
The heroine of the film should win. Of course not. But who did they give the award to? Give the award to the black woman who's evil. The bad guy. That's just my point. See, Brad Pitt, you know, get your tongue in a guy's mouth in a film. Okay? Speed it up. Because I don't believe you. If your mom is really, really the person that I believe she is, a strong conservative, she raised you right, boy. Don't get caught up in that Hollywood mess. Somebody's going to have to address this in your household. I know you're probably calling your mama now. Mama, what are you doing?
Why did you have to do that?
Why'd you have to do that, mama? Now they're questioning me. How I was raised. And she's probably saying to you, Braddy. You shut your face when you talk to your mama. You shut your face.
You have respect for your mama, Brad.
Right? Because I slap you right in your mouth. I don't care with you, that kooky, weird girl. When you adopted that Crayola factory, I don't care about none of that.
Crayola factory, oh my God.
I'll smack you in your mouth. You don't tell me what to say, you don't tell me what to do. I'm no kook. You're the kook.
I'll erase you.
Exactly. I'll remove your ass. Real quick, I'll ruin your career, okay? I'll talk about your Lego collection. I'll talk about how you used to have an imaginary friend who wouldn't talk to you. I'll tell everybody about what you were like when you were a kid.
And how when you took a bath, you were playing G.I. Joe swimming underwater.
Yeah, I'll tell everything on you. Don't you dare give me a call. Mike.
Hey, you missed one.
What did I miss?
You missed Denzel Washington in 1989, Best Supporting Actor for Glory.
That's right.
Where he played another stereotype, the rebellious former slave.
That's right. He was fighting against the man, and they wouldn't
and showing off his lash scars.
That's right. He was trying to rally against the man, and Morgan Freeman was telling him, you know, we got it good.
Oh, messed up.
Don't you be rocking no boats, boy.
You know, man, I saw Precious, right, just because of all the hype about it. I've never seen a movie that made me want to open my wrist more than that movie. Holy crap.
You made me want to open your what?
Open my wrist. That was the most depressing movie ever.
It was the most depressing movie ever, and I really didn't get it, Mike. I mean, I was just like, what the hell? And, like, every time something crazy would happen, I'd be like, what?
Does it make me racist that I laughed when the morbidly obese black girl was running down the street with a bucket of stolen fried chicken?
No, I was hysterical myself.
That's funny. I will tell you this. You want to know how horrible that movie was? Let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you a great story. I was in C95 in Rikers Island, which is considered one of the worst places to be. And I was in a gang dorm. The Crips were in this dorm. It was protective custody. I didn't request it. They just put me in this dorm. There were nothing but Crips there. The whole place is run by Bloods, and we had to be in this. I was in this dorm. So when you get movies in jail, that's a big deal. If it's a new release, a bootleg, whatever it is, that's a big deal. So the movie we got one night was Precious.
Wait, they let you play bootleg in jail?
Yeah, well, we had a DVD player.
Wow.
And the officers would bring in bootleg DVDs for us to watch.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
the officers are bringing in bootleg illegal.
I swear to you. I saw every movie that was out during like 2009, 2010, until like I saw them because they brought in the bootleg copies. I saw Star Trek when it came out in jail, the same week it was in theaters. So we're in there, and we get Precious. Now, everybody in jail is knowing when they read the newspapers, it's the most critically acclaimed film. Monique is in it. You know, I'm in jail with a predominant number of black people in there, a couple of Puerto Ricans and some Colombians, but they are dying to see this film when it gets in there. We watched 10 minutes of this film. And they took the movie out. The president took the movie out, and they said, I ain't watching this. This is boring. I ain't watching this. They took it out. I still haven't seen Precious. Thanks to the folks at C95 in Rikers Island. Because I didn't want to watch it when it was there, but I needed some entertainment.
You didn't miss much, man.
I know I didn't. But I wasn't going to see that damn film. And when I heard about the book...
It was so weird.
The
really
book,
weird.
Mama Molesting the Daughter. The book is even more. I heard the book is much worse. They wouldn't even put some of the stuff on film because the stuff in the book is so heinous. And that's who they gave the Oscar to, Monique. And she's so proud. She's so proud of playing a child.
Yeah, I thought it was classy when she showed up on the red carpet with hairy legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she refuses to see. Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with class. That's just preference. But the movie itself was, I thought, was brilliant. And I thought Monique acted her ass off in that movie.
Brilliant.
JC, are you serious?
I'm dead ass serious. Monique, now, have you ever seen? Now, I've seen Monique in quite a few movies. You have to watch the movie all the way through. You have to.
But you're saying it was a departure. It was a departure from what you've normally seen, Monique. That's not enough for me.
Yeah, but her last big hit was Soul Plane.
Yeah, there you go. I think, but you know what it was? And this is another clear example of how Hollywood works. You get an actor, you put them in a position you've never seen them in before. You put them in sort of a you put them in a role that normally. Would contrast their normal persona. This is why Denzel won for Training Day. You've never seen Denzel play a bad guy. And here he plays a bad guy, not convincingly. He just plays it in a way that you go, wow, Denzel playing a bad guy? It's all spectacle. That's why I think it's bogus.
No. That movie... I mean, I think a lot of people brushed the movie off because Tyler Perry and Oprah put their name on it. And it was an independent film to begin with.
Right.
But I thought it was a brilliant movie.
Okay,
I mean, every actor that was in it, even down to Mariah Carey, Yes, even down to Mariah Carey.
Right.
I thought you were pretty damn good in it.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you seen... okay, I'm going to give you two examples. Did you see Halle Berry in Jungle Fever?
Yep.
Did you see Halle Berry in Monsters Ball?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, that one.
Which performance do you think is better from Halle Berry, honestly?
Jungle Fever.
Yeah, but she earned the Oscar for getting naked with Billy Bob Thornton, man. I mean, that's payback.
There's my point. My point exactly. Halle Berry's first movie was Jungle Fever. And she plays a crackhead, and she's brilliant at it. It made her a star. The reason why she is in, what's that, the Eddie Murphy movie? The Eddie Murphy comedy drama.
Boring.
The reason why she gets that role is because she is absolutely explosive in Jungle Fever. Spike Lee put her in her first film. He made her. He made her. And you can honestly say the crackhead she plays in Jungle Fever is leaps and bounds from what she plays in
Monsters Ball.
Monsters Ball. And you know it. I'd have given her the Oscar for that. That's why I think, and I don't always agree with that, broad, but that's why I think that Angela Bassett had a point. I think she had a point.
She's anyway, just sour.
We got to get James on the phone. I got to get up all my snacks, and we got to continue our conversation that we had yesterday. Black crime against white folks versus white crime, well, against black, yes, yeah, whatever.
Here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, I will.
I wish I could.
Damn it, man. I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
All right, folks, it's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio, top of the hour on this July the 6th, 2012. The number is 347-308-8701. And, of course, don't forget, send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. You can also catch us on Facebook at Reese on the Radio. And Twitter is Reese on Radio. Still no one's been able to assist me on how it is that I can get my old name back. Because I have an account that's Reese on the Radio, and someone who set it up for me does not remember the password, and I can't seem to remember it either. So I'll hope to get that back, but you know we'll work on it. Okay. So,
question, real quick.
Go for it.
Why don't you just hit the password restore and let it go back to the old email that it used? Did it not use your email address?
I don't think so. Well, maybe
you don't know what email address to use.
A good idea. That might be a good idea. I will try that. I promise you I will try that. I will try that. I have to get my password.
Get on with your, I was going to say, now get on with your skewed facts and figures.
Yes, thank you, JC. I appreciate it. Okay. So I'd like to thank Edward in Connecticut and Mike in Florida for all of the detailed information that they gave me at 6:20 and 6:30 this morning. Edward in Connecticut sent me this murder rates by race, 1976 to 2005. He sent it at 6:20 this morning. I love you, Edward, for doing this. Because obviously it's stuck in his craw. I've got to get this number. And he did. So this is what he gave me. He said, I'll read his email. Attached is a PDF containing stats that show the rates of homicide per FBI reports for several years. There was also a table that shows black-on-white homicides far outstrip white-on-black homicides, usually double, but sometimes triple. From pages 67 and 68 in 2005. But this is the breakdown that he gave. And Edward, please call it because I want you to break this down on a PDF file. And Mike, I'm going to bring you in a second because I'm going to have you explain what it is that you, because you sent a lot of information as well. Okay, so here's what the breakdown was. 44.6% of homicides, that number is 4,755, were white on white. 42.2% of homicides, that's 4,497, that's 4,497, were black on black. So that disparity is clear. There are more white on white crimes than black on black crimes. And that number is somewhere around 300, probably a little less in disparity. Anyway, now here's the part. 8.8% of homicides, 934, were black on white. 3.2%, that's 337, were white on black. Now that means that if we were to break this down, that black on white crime was 2/3 higher than white-on-black crime. That is a considerable amount based on those numbers. I'm going to open up this file that it gave me because I haven't had enough time to do this, but I wanted to do it live because that's what it is that we do here. All right, here's the PDF file. Open that up. Now, Mike started sending me emails as early as 6:36 in the morning. So I'm going to go through the stuff that Mike sent. Mike sent, so this is the WKRG article. I don't know where the KRG article came from. Man beaten by mob in critical condition. This is from WKRG.com, News Channel 5. Witness changes her story about Matthew Owens' beating. Now, Mike, I'm going to assume that there's a video here of this story. Let me just pull your mic up. I'm sorry about that. I'm working with a slow computer today, guys, and I'm really, really sorry. Oh, wow, the numbers. Look at that number. Look at Derek, the bounty hunter, is in, too. Okay, so, Mike, let's get into this story here. I'm going to play the audio. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, let's play the audio that you sent, and let's see whether or not we can get a storyline here. Okay, of course, I got Byron Lassiter's and associates. His commercial's got to play first, so we'll let him go. Okay, all right. Here's the news story that Mike sent me.
Neighbors who live on Del Mar Drive say they are sick of hearing about race after a beating on the street that left a man in critical condition.
There should not be all this problem. The incident that happened on our street was between two people that had already had previous problems.
While neighbors say they get along for the most part, it's getting to the point where some are afraid for their safety.
My kids and everybody's kids around here, they play on the street. And you won't know if somebody going to just come through here and just randomly start shooting.
I want to live on this street peacefully, and we do not want any racial problems on our street.
As much as neighbors want to defuse the talk of race in this incident, it seems to keep coming back up. Many people who live on Del Mar Drive woke up to find this paper on their lawn called the Aryan Alternative, apparently passed out by a group of white supremacists.
It was on my lawn. It was on every lawn on the block. Everybody on the block, they had one in the yard.
I went out and saw one, and I called the police immediately, and the police came by and picked them up. They said it's one group of a handful of people that will send these out in neighborhoods where they think they can start a racial issue.
Enough is enough, and they need to stop putting these papers in everybody's yard, and it ain't just, it's everybody in this, on this dead-end street, everybody concerned about this piece of paper that was left in the yard this morning.
Now, Mike, please explain to the rest of us, why did you send me that video?
Well, the story is actually about a man who was beaten by a group of 10 or 12 angry young black kids over basketball in his yard or something, and as they did it, they yelled, "That's justice for Trayvon."
Wow. Now, the reporter doesn't mention that in the story, but the only thing they mention is the fact that some Aryan group left newspapers on everybody's lawn.
But I do believe it's actually in the write-up.
Oh, it's in the write-up of the story.
I think it's in the write-up, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Most people don't read the write-up, though, Mike. Come on. They don't read that. They watch news. Everybody comes home from work, and they turn on the local news. And the newspaper didn't bring any of that. That article, I mean, that spot by that reporter was focusing on, oh, we don't want to talk about race. We don't want to deal with race in our community. Oh, the only person who is really making this a racial issue is the Aryan group.
Yeah,
name one of these Negroes who read that story.
Yeah, except for the people that beat the guy and yelled, "That's justice for Trayvon."
Exactly.
Right, it wasn't a bunch of white kids who kicked his ass and yelled, "Justice for Trayvon."
Right, exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Okay, so, and you had another article by the Daily Mail. Now, I've got to question you on this one, Mike. This
okay.
is from the UK Daily Mail. And I'll admit, although I know that the UK reports on American stories in a way that American journalists don't do, Why did you give me this story?
Let me pull up my Twitter here and I'll see what you're talking about. I sent you quite a few.
Okay, the second one you sent me after that story about the Aryan Nation.
Okay, let's see here.
This one says brutal home invasion in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. This happened right around the time of the Trayvon Martin deal. An 85-year-old woman and her 90-year-old World War II veteran husband were victims of home invasion. The old lady was beaten and died, and the old man got put in the hospital. And it was three angry young black men who did it. Oh, and the old man's dying also. He has a terminal kidney illness.
That's right. I do remember this story because I remember the headline in one of the stories that I read said something about, because this, somebody said to Obama, does this look like your son?
Yeah, but, you know, what bigger news can there be? This ancient couple who had been married for 60 years with a war hero husband, you know, cashes in their chips at home at the hands of young thugs, and that doesn't make the news?
That's right. Suspect Tyrone Dale David Woodford, 20 years old, was arrested a day after the attack on complaints of first-degree murder, burglary, assault with a dangerous weapon, and two complaints of armed robbery.
And look at his picture. Is that not a terrifying young man?
With that wild ass hair, yeah, he looks like a problem. I do remember this story.
With the media, would the media splash that picture across the news? And
they never
would the president, would Barack say, when I look at Tyrone, I think of my son?
That's right. Exactly. Of course he wouldn't. Of course he wouldn't. Of course he would not. All right, Edward's on the line. Edward, thank you, as always, man, for calling in and listening in. Edward, you sent me these stats.
Yeah.
Which I think are fascinating, which make the argument against what Montgomery has said and what JC believes. Because, JC, get your butt back on the line. Come on, man. Get on the line. This PDF file is interesting that you sent me. And I'm going to go to pages 67 and 68. I'm going to scroll down to make sure. Actually, I'm going to boost that up and let me go. Okay, pages 68, 65 to 68, I should say. 67 to 68. So, Edward, tell me what it is that you found in reading this report yourself before we get to the actual numbers.
Well, what I found, I decided to look at homicide rates because those are probably the best rates to measure crime because you can't really hide a body. Other stats can be juked left and right. But, you know, I was actually surprised when I found these stats because I thought that maybe JC would be right, that maybe there would be a lower amount of that, you know, by the actual numbers he may have been right. But I was actually surprised that black-on-white homicides far outstrip white on black homicides, sometimes by three times the amount. And these aren't stats just from. And these
when
just
you say three times the when you say three times the amount, you're talking. I mean, as far as numbers, what did you see?
Let's say, for example, in 1978, there were 269 murders white on black, but there were 899 black on white murders. That very same year, so that's almost three times the amount of the white on black murders, and the trend is not that's not an anomaly. That's a trend that has happened from 1976 when they started taking these stats to 2005. You see no variance. There's no year where whites have killed more blacks.
Okay, so I'm looking at the black on white number. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And from 1976, as far as percentiles. We're looking at 6 point from 1976. I'm going to go down the numbers. So please, you know, bear with me. 6% in 1976, and I'm going to go all the way down the numbers to 2005. 6%, 5.9, 6.1, 6.8, 6.4, 6.8, 6.4, 6.3, 6.2, 6.7, 6.5, 6.3, 6.6, 7.0. 6977, that's in 1991 we're up to now. 1992, 8.5. 93, 8.9. Dropped in 94 to 8.6. Dropped all the way down to 8.0 in 1995. Up 8.4, stayed 8.4 in 97. Dropped to 7.5 in 98. 99, jumped to 8.1. Up again, 8.2 in 2000, stayed at 8.2 in 2001, 8.1 in 2002, dropped just a percentile, 2003, jumped again to 8.6, 2004, 8.5, jumped again to 8.8 in 2005. So, now here's the number, white on black. I'm seeing the number going up here, but it still pales in comparison. In 1976, 2.0. 77 jumps to 2.4. Drops dramatically in 78, 1.8%. Jumps up again, 2.5 in 79. 2.2, 2.5, stays at 2.5 in 82. Drops to 2.3, jumps to 2.6, 2.7 in 85. 2.6 in 86. Jumps again to 2.9 in 87, 2.7. Now, here's probably where the numbers go back and forth and fluctuate between threes and twos. Let's go to 89, 3.2, 91, 3.4. Down in 92, 2.7. Stays at 2.7 in 93. 3.1, it jumps in 94. 3.3 goes up. 3.3, it stays in 96. 2.9, it drops in 97. 3.2 goes up. 2.8, it drops. 3.0, it jumps. 2.8, it drops in 2001. 3.2, it jumps in 2002. Goes up to 3.5 and 3.5 in 2003 and 2004, and then drops in 2005 to 3.2. Considering both numbers, gentlemen, and JC, I will let you have the next 2 minutes. You're going to sit up here and tell me that there's not more black on white crime than white on black? Come on, JC.
All right, now, if you're going to take it back to 70s, you might as well take it back to the 60s. I'm certain, and I'm willing to stake my life on it, that there are so many unreported white-on-black crimes
that aren't getting recorded. That can't be the basis of your argument.
Yeah, if you No.
The thing is, we dropped away from the initial point of what we were trying to make yesterday, and that was what regards to what the media reports. That is what we were talking about. Now,
the mainstream media, with those numbers, think about it. Think of the disparity.
We were talking about what the media was reporting.
Numbers that started at 6.0 in 76 and grew to the 8-point number versus a number that started white on black at 2.0 and ended at 3.2.
And what you have to take into consideration.
And I'm not really arguing that point. No, the thing is, I'm not really arguing that point. I understand why the numbers reflect what they do. Because, like I said, I don't believe that a lot of the white-on-black crime ever gets reported. What we were discussing was what the media was reporting.
Okay.
The point that I was trying to make yesterday, is that statistically, there's no way that you can have more murder, death, kill in blacks than you can in whites, because statistically there are more of them than there are of African Americans.
Yeah, but
we're talking about the criminal numbers, not the media. We're talking about the facts.
But that's what the argument was about. It initially started with the media story.
But as Edward says, you can't really hide a dead body. So somebody knows these black guys are getting killed. Are you just saying they go down as unsolved crimes?
The thing is, I question the sources personally.
If that's the case,
you mean to tell me that there was more black on white crimes from the 20s? I mean, if you want to go back to the 70s? Let's go back from the 20s all the way up through to the beginning of the 70s.
Well, I don't think you can go back to the 20s. I don't think the FBI existed then.
Well, hold on. Now, wait. I'm glad that you mentioned the 20s. I'm glad you mentioned the 20s here. You're talking about the early stage. Like, you're talking, you know, of course, pre-civil rights movement.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Exactly.
Okay, so.
Yeah, but JC, we're not in the 20s anymore. We're talking about today.
Neither are we in the 70s, but we're talking about it.
I found stats yesterday that showed that there has been a dramatic decrease in murders within white people, much more dramatic decrease than there is with black people. Overall, murders
impossible.
Are down.
You say murders are down with white on white versus black on black. Yes. You're saying that the numbers of black-on-black crimes have risen.
You can't even find.
They've dropped, but they've only dropped a minuscule amount. Whereas white people went from, like, white men went from, like, 10.63% down to 6.45% or whatever it was.
Where did you find these statistics?
She's absolutely right. In the same PDF. In the same PDF I sent to Reese, page 68 has a table, white on white murders. 1976, there were 6,279. 2005, 4,755. The number consistently goes down except for a point in the 80s where it went up.
And the numbers that I found yesterday are based on as of 2011. So we're talking 6 more years after what we've already discussed.
So is this the PDF from the Department of Justice?
No, this is from this number came from the FBI.
Yeah, Department of Justice.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
The Bureau of Justice Statistics.
Yes.
Okay. Let's bring in Derek the Bounty Hunter. Derek,
No, but hold on, because I never got a chance to finish my point.
All right, finish your point, and then we'll bring Derek in.
What initiated the conversation when we were talking about what the media reports. And my argument was and remains that there are more white-on-white crime than there is black-on-black crime.
No dispute.
Hold on. The report that I found states that 84% of crimes against whites are 84% of it is by someone else that's white.
Okay, sure. Let me just jump in
right there. He's absolutely right.
And that's not being reported. If you go to Wikipedia, hold on, let me finish. Just give me 1 second, Edward. If you go to Wikipedia and type on white on white,
that's not even a reputable site. You can't cite them.
Then try Google. You're still not going to find white on white statistics because they're not out there.
But
they're not being reported.
But
of course, because as I said yesterday, that white-on-white crime is the predominant crime because there are, 30 times more white people than black people?
Right. We're not arguing.
That doesn't get national coverage.
JC, we're not arguing
with you
there.
My whole point was the media
reports black-on-white crime less than white-on-black crime.
This is a media issue. The media,
a media narrative to make blacks look like savages.
No. The media issue is that the media refuses to talk about black-on-white crime, but yet they always push the narrative when whites commit crimes against blacks, is what I'm saying.
No, but they're not even reporting the white-on-white crime.
Oh, no, sure they do, JC. That's not true. Of course they do. If it's based upon some sort of sensationalism.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He ate Negroes. He ate Negroes and Chinese.
When blacks commit heinous crimes against whites.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Can I get on here, please?
Of course you can, Derek.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't white on white, man. Come on, man. That Asian guy that came running out of his house with the blood coming out of his ass.
Jeffrey Dahmer was the Jeffrey Dahmer case.
Here's my question, Derek.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer was the Benetton of serial killers. He didn't discriminate at all.
He was not killing white guys, man.
But you're right. But think about it. Jeffrey Dahmer was committing crimes against minorities. That's a fact. He was killing blacks as well as Asians.
He was killing white people.
No, he was killing Asians.
He killed white
Asians
people too.
My bad, I misspoke.
No, and he was killing whites too.
Come on now.
Here's my question, Derek.
No.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
If the numbers suggest that there are more blacks killing whites, why does the media only focus on white versus black crime? Or white against black crime? Even though the numbers suggest that there is more black on white crime.
Look, I don't know what. Look, I know when I look on the news, I see. It goes. It goes down the line. I see. White kill. White people do kill black people, and black people do kill white people. Okay, you know, this thing goes on. And I don't appreciate that thing by Mike where he's sitting over here saying that some killer was supposed to look like that was Obama's son. So what you supposed to say? Romney was supposed to say Sam Dusky look like my uncle? Play with them little kid booty holes, man. Come on, well, come on, man.
But President Obama made a point to say that Trayvon Martin looked like his son. When Trayvon Martin was shot, he did not look like Webster any longer. He looked like one of the Greek big mobsters.
So are you saying he was tatted up with a grill?
That's
home invader looked like Barack Obama. Did he?
The point is, Barack Obama
said.
Right?
Is that what you're trying to say? Come on, man.
No, he's not trying to say.
No, dude. That's not the point, Derek.
No,
the point is, President Obama went out of his way.
One second. Mike, hold on. Derek, hold on.
Hold on.
President Obama used the all blacks look alike term when he said Trayvon could have been my son.
Well, no, that's what my son would have looked
like.
That
was a Trayvon looks like every other black kid that could have been my child. That was a we all look alike comment, Derek, and you can't dispute that.
To be honest with you, Trey, you know what? If Barack Obama did have a son, he would kind of, you know, Trayvon's people kind of do resemble Barack's people, man. Let's put it like this. Trayvon doesn't look like my family. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, like I said, man, he kind of does resemble, you know, if Barack Obama did have children, they kind of favor that type. Okay?
Derek, it is irrelevant. It is irrelevant because Barack Obama had no place.
I understand
if he wanted to make a statement to the family and send his condolences on behalf of himself and his family is one thing. But there's no reason for you to get on national TV and talk to the free world and talk about, that's what my son would have looked like had I had a son.
What was that about?
You got to get with some home invader. Did Barack say that would look like his son? Come on. Where did the home invader go? I want to know why.
That's the reason why Barack Obama would never say that his son could look like that home invader, because he would never want to associate himself with that type of person. And the narrative was to make Trayvon look like he was some innocent kid walking around with some iced tea and a damn bag of Skittles, and just because he was light, he might have looked like Barack Obama. Come on, it's a narrative that he was preaching.
Yes, he was an innocent kid, dude. But
no,
Trayvon Martin was innocent, man. Trayvon
Martin
was innocent. Martin
was well on his way to a career in the correctional industry, sir.
Innocent kid, because you don't know what was happening there.
It's like a friend network. You know, say, give me a damn break here. All right, come on now. No. Well, on his way to nothing. Okay, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something here, right? I was arrested one time for having a fake ID when I was 19, okay? Now, that was 22 years ago.
Because I'm black, I was arrested. I'm white, I was arrested too. I did 2 years in jail. So granted it was juvenile jail, but I still had to do 2 years out of my teenage years. And so how much time did you do when you was arrested?
Oh, about 4 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Hours?
And that's all it took. And that's all it took. And like
cry
I said, and like
years.
I said, 20, and like I said, 22 years later, nothing else. But see, people have known a whole thing about.
Well, good for you, man, but you're not.
I'm making a statement here. See, that happened to me when I was 19 years old, right? And it's been 22 years. 22 years.
Yeah, and were you running around with stolen jewelry and breaking into houses and beating people up in the street?
Exactly wrong.
Well, see, then you're not Trayvon Martin, and you are not the point.
Exactly. You were trying to incorporate yourself.
Getting caught with a little bag of weed?
Seriously, you are the worst on the telephone, bro.
So when George Bush got pulled.
I gotta pause. Hold on. Hear me out, Derek. Derek, you're wrong here. You cannot equate yourself with Trayvon Martin. You're not.
Yeah,
trust
you
me.
Can't. How
you know nothing. You know nothing about Trayvon Martin other than what it is that you've learned in the media. You know nothing about him. And what it is that people have learned about Trayvon Martin has actually been a complete contrast to what it is that we used to hear on the news. We know this kid used to rob people. We know that he had jewelry on his person that he stole. He had burglary items. We know all of that about him. So the whole idea that Trayvon Martin is the innocent kid, that's been dispelled. That's done. But the bottom
we know that he had a history of violence.
Yeah, and
he bragged about beating up a bus driver.
Exactly. And
there's
and
videos
the only,
of him fighting on the internet and refereeing street yard fights.
And the only premise that Derek, you're even making a point of, the only common ground that you have with Trayvon Martin
is that you're black.
All right,
let's
vote for Barack Obama.
Hold on one second. Am I back on the radio now?
Yeah, you're back on.
Reese, what did you do the first day you met me? 24 hours of knowing me. What is the first thing you did? Huh?
I got to do a five-year bar.
Huh? Okay. Now, Mary, what is your last remembrance of me? Huh?
I don't want to say that on air, Derek. I'm not going to say that on air.
Okay, now. So tell me that again. Tell me that again. Come on, man. Like I said, who y'all speaking to? The Psychic Friend Network? Give me a break here.
It's not about you.
Hold on.
You know me.
I'm going to make a point to you, Derek. Hold on for a second. Listen to me. Seriously. Without freaking out, just listen to me real quick. The bottom line is this. What our question is, and I want you to respond to that question, is that the news media has made it its narrative to constantly push this meme that there are racist white people out there against blacks, even though statistically the numbers show that there are more blacks committing crimes against whites. Do you think that is honest and fair reporting, yes or no?
You know what? Like I said, man, you know, don't get me wrong now, you're sitting over here, you know, let's face it, most of these crimes go down, it's an economic issue here.
Well, no, don't make excuses for them, Derek. I'm asking you a question. That if the
You're making it seem like black people just go down the street and say, you know what, I just want to go ahead and shoot a stab
this
white guy.
I'm not saying that.
No, Derek, and I in no way, I personally in no way, shape, or form believe that. You know me. Just like you just said, I know you. You know me, and I don't roll like that.
No one has put any motives on anyone. We're just talking about the straight facts.
What I'm asking you is that if you know the numbers are double.
People go up.
No,
yep.
Derek, listen. If the numbers are double versus the other, that there are double the numbers of blacks committing crimes against whites than whites committing crimes against blacks, if you know that they're double, why is it that the media only pushes the narrative of reporting the stories when whites commit crimes
against
blacks? Why is it that they only report that story on the news and won't report when blacks commit crimes against whites? Why won't
Let's qualify it that it's the national media.
Yeah, the national media. That's right, the national media. Because if there's anything that you know,
it's a juiciest story. You know, the end. It's a juiciest story.
And why is it the juiciest story, Derek? It's the juiciest story because the media is pushing a narrative on black people. That is exactly what they're doing. They're pushing a narrative.
Look at these white racists doing these racist crimes against you, but they won't report when blacks commit crimes on whites because blacks are held to a lower standard. Yes or no?
I don't know about all that, man.
Okay,
I don't know.
Now you know that
the,
I don't know about your local law enforcement.
Because you know what, Gillis, it's like this, right? You know, the bail bonds office I come to, that I work at, there, there's a booster that comes around and sells us. I mean, he sells us everything, man. He sells us polo shirts and the pair of Air Jordans I got on right now. You know, and dude, this is a white guy. You know, so I mean, this white guy goes into the store, and all of a sudden, he goes out to Lake Buena Vista out there by Disney, and he's driving these stores blind, man. This is a white dude.
Yeah.
He comes back in the hood and tells all this stuff.
Stop incriminating yourself of being in possession of stolen goods on the radio, okay?
But I want to tell you that if you learned
anything about life growing up in the hood.
But I'm sitting over here saying this is a white guy here. We buying our stuff from a white guy.
But that has nothing to do with the issue.
Because
the only way your point would make any sense is if he was stealing only from black-owned businesses.
I know he's stealing from white businesses.
He's not targeting minorities for his crime spree. He's targeting the white people.
But he's coming and selling his product in the hood. He's selling his stolen goods in the hood.
And what if, you know why he won't go sell them in the white neighborhoods? Because they won't buy his stolen crap.
In essence, what you're saying is that do you believe that this is a racist white guy selling stolen goods to blacks because blacks are more naive?
No, this is a white guy committing crimes. He knows he's selling this crap, and black people just gonna block. He's just gonna sell it quick, probably so he can get his crack.
Because he knows that he can't sell it in the white neighborhoods.
That's right.
You ain't going into suburbia talking about yo. Check it out. I got Louis Vuitton bags. I got Coach bags.
And again, it's not like he's stealing from black-owned businesses, so you have no point, dude.
What are you talking about here? But like I said, this is a white guy coming and you know, saying,
white guy who's over here selling
$90 polo shirts for
$20. Doesn't make anything to do with interracial crime.
Back to interracial crime. What I'm asking you is this. If blacks are committing more crimes against whites, in fact, the numbers, according to Edward, who gave me the statistics, so I have in front of me, that there are more crimes where blacks are committing them against whites than whites on blacks. Why is it that the media will only report white crimes against blacks? Why do you think that is?
Or black against blacks?
It's even worse because there are such a smaller percentage of black people in the country that statistically they commit a hell of a lot more crimes.
That's the scariest part. Go ahead, Edward.
I just think, to be fair to Derek, he's not a reporter, as far as I know.
They would put the same amount of people in jail. You don't think so?
So he wouldn't really know what the media's reasons for doing anything is.
No, that's not true, Edward. Let me tell you this, because of knowing Derek personally, and I'm going to ask you this, Derek, and you're going to be honest. I were to say to you, name three black serial killers or notorious black criminals in history versus how many white killers or murderers you know in history over the past 20 years.
That's true.
I would say right now, I'll challenge you. Name three black notorious criminals in history who committed murder.
Okay, I'll go with that Atlanta child murder guy.
Derek.
Huh?
Atlanta child murderer, you don't even know his name.
I mean, you know who I'm talking about, though.
Know who you're talking about, Derek.
Yeah, what's his name, dude?
Okay.
All right, go away. You don't know his name, but we'll take that into consideration. Name me two more.
Okay. Larry, who? Larry Davis, no, he just shot cops.
Shot cops, he didn't kill anybody.
You know what? There was that guy, serial killer guy that was killing all those prostitutes.
That was Joe Rifkin, dude. He's white.
Now, to be fair, saying a serial killer who killed prostitutes is pretty much every serial killer.
So, Derek, now name me five white notorious murderers. What's that?
Man.
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson.
To be fair, Charles Manson didn't kill anybody.
No, that he didn't do dirt. He didn't kill anybody. He just wished a lot.
You know who Berkowitz
is? He didn't get that actress killed? Come on now.
No, he didn't kill anybody.
He had her killed. He never killed anyone.
Okay, what about David Berkowitz?
Yeah, you know Berkowitz, the son of Sam. Who else do you know, Derek? Timothy McVeigh?
Ted Bundy?
Yeah,
Danny Rawling, John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, come on, man. They got a bunch of crazy white guys, man. And they have a lot of white guys. I can play them little kid booty roles, too. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know any black notorious killers.
Hold on a second. Who was the fat guy in the real fat dude, the human beatbox for the Fat Boys? Man, they said that dude was killing Captain Crunch, you know?
I can't believe y'all forgot about OJ.
Derek, you're only making our point for us, Derek. You are the worst, dude. Look, Mike and Edward, I want to thank you guys for breaking this down for us. The argument is obviously settled.
There was another statistic I wanted to point out. Often it's on page 62. Often we talk about how, you know, if anybody's going to be a multiple murderer, it's going to be a white person.
Right.
But if you look at the statistics on page 62 for multiple victims or offenders, the difference between white and black multiple killers is only about 15%. It's not that great that you would think,
Okay, but you know what? The difference there probably is that more white men tend to be serial killers, whereas more black men, most likely not a black woman, but more black men will kill or murder several times throughout their life versus killing all at one time.
I want to point out one more statistic that's interesting. What is dangerous as far as a high white offenders is someone poisoning you. They will, you know, white people will poison you in about 80% as compared to 18% of black people.
Wow.
And women also do that. And that's a woman crime, too. Women like to poison people.
Have you ever seen what's that female show that comes on? Snapped.
Oh yeah. Well, let me
you're a bunch of Discovery ID watching.
And workplace shootings. Whites also are pretty high in that 70% compared to only 26%.
White folks get pissed off and they lose their jobs.
And I bet you most of those white folks are making a very, very good amount of pay.
Well, this is
not the case.
Wait, hold on. This is the stat that Edward's talking about on page 62 of the PDF he sent me. It says the race distribution of homicide victims and offenders differs by type of homicide, and the list let me read the top. He says for the years 1976 to 2005 combined, black victims are overrepresented in homicides involving drugs compared with the overall involvement of blacks as victims. Blacks are less often the victims of sex-related homicides, workplace killings, and homicides by poison. Race patterns among offenders are similar to those among victims. All homicides, it says, and these are the victims, 50% of white victims, 46.9% of black, other or 2.1. Offenders, on the other hand, very interesting number here. The offenders are 45.8% white and 52.2% black.
So 5% less.
So blacks are more often the offenders of all homicides.
and 10% of the population overall.
Again, you're absolutely right. Well, 13% according to recent numbers.
Yeah.
So that's the breakdown.
And another stat that'll get you is the FBI. I know my local law enforcement doesn't. They don't classify Hispanics as Hispanics. They classify Hispanics as white.
Hmm.
Yeah, they do.
So the white number is actually the Hispanic and white number for offenders and victims.
Well, wait a minute. I have to mention this. In the interest of full disclosure, this I found amazing. Edward, did you see this number? They said the circumstances of crimes, this was scary, gang-related crimes from 76 to 2005, gang-related crimes, the victims were 57.5% white versus 39.0% for blacks, but the offenders of that gang-related crime, 54.3% were white and only 41.2% were black. So there are more white offenders of gang-related crime.
Well, but that's because they include the Hispanics.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find the actual breakdown if they include Hispanics or if they split them up, because sometimes it will call them, you know, as in the George Zimmerman case, a white Hispanic or black Hispanic. You know, I haven't been able to find the breakdowns.
I was actually able to find some information on that and to see how the breakdown was when it was inclusive of the Hispanic population, and it was so ridiculous to even try to understand what they were saying that you couldn't even read it.
Poison was an interesting number because the poison number says 80.6% of whites were victims. And 16.9% of African Americans were victims of poison, and the offenders is just as amazing. 79.8% of the offenders were white, and only 18.4% were black. So Negroes aren't using poison.
And I bet you the percentage of black people that were doing the poisoning were poisoning against white people.
What gets me about the Hispanic thing is the term Hispanic is not actually legitimate. That's just something that's been foisted upon us. The Hispanic tells you that Cameron Diaz, Ricky Martin, and George Lopez are all the same people.
Really?
And they're not.
You say all the same people. What do you mean?
Yeah. Cameron Diaz would be classified as Hispanic because she's from Cuba.
Right.
But you can look at Cameron Diaz, and there's no way she's the same Hispanic as George Lopez.
Okay, I get what you're saying. Okay, all right, I understand it. Based upon region.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Diaz is white. I mean, you don't get any more white than blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah, you'll find the same discrepancies even in a place like Mexico. The Mexicans that have more of the blood of the Spaniards, they look totally different from the Mexicans who are, you know, more of the indigenous peoples who are in, you know, the poorer indigenous peoples. But they're all called Hispanic.
And it also depends. It also depends the region of the country and where you were, because you can get, you know, people that live up in the mountains, people that live in the city. You know, so they all have different pigmentation and different hair color and different eye color.
Some of them are European Spaniards, and some are Indians, and some are intermixed.
Exactly. But they're all still Hispanic.
Well, but Hispanic's not a real deal. You know, you've got your white, your black, or your Indian. And
maybe according to the United States government, it's not. But the facts are, it is.
When it comes to a damn job application, it's not.
I mean, I went to school with a guy whose name was Juan Marcus Hidalgo, okay? He was a 6'3", blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy.
But look, a lot of people come from, a lot of women come from Brazil, a lot of women come from Colombia, a lot of women and men that come from those countries do have blonde hair and blue eyes. That's not anything.
What I'm saying is they're white.
But
you know, if you look
not.
At things from a genetic standpoint, they're white people.
No, they're not, because they don't speak English.
But they don't speak English in Spain either, and people from Spain are white.
No, they're not.
Yes,
they're
Spanish.
They're
considered European.
They're lily white.
They're
they just speak Spanish.
If they're
white.
Right. If you're in Spain, you're considered European. That's what they consider you in Spain.
Okay, that's fine. That may be a consideration by whomever, but we all know.
No, we don't.
That ain't the case.
Oh, no.
And Portuguese are white, too.
Portuguese are white, too. I happen
yeah.
to agree. I'm going to have to stick with you on that one, Mike. I think you're absolutely
right. And Gisele Bündchen
is
from
Brazil.
Is
close to Africa.
You can't tell me she's not white.
What'd you say? But Gisele's from where?
She's from Brazil.
Absolutely, and they treat her
like her last name. Her last name is Bündchen. She's German.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stick with that one.
I don't agree.
Well, I trace my African roots, and my African roots go back to Nigeria, Africa, and my name is McGee. That makes me Irish.
No, it just means that somebody in the past was Irish, dude. That's
hey,
all.
There's a lot of black Irish out there. You know, they say the black and the Irish were two of the most oppressed people.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Happy St. Patrick's
yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, anyway, it was worse to be Irish because Irish people were worth less. And Seamus was an indentured servant. You didn't have much invested in him, but your field slave was worth a couple of grand. So if you were going to lose somebody, you'd lose the cheap Irishman.
There was actually a point in this country where black people were preferred over Irish people to be hired.
Very true. Irish need not apply. It's a very big time. Very, very big time, pre-20s and mostly a lot in the 30s.
Yeah, because they came to work drunk.
No, not true.
Hey, JC,
this is the reason why.
Watch your tongue.
A lot of people don't know this. The reason why the police department was predominantly Irish is because it was a high-risk job, and the only people they would allow to become police officers were
Irish people.
Mm-hmm.
The also reason why Italians became construction workers because they had to work on those high beams and those high, tall skyscrapers, and it was a high-risk job, and the only people they would hire are, quote-unquote, the WOPs, without papers. That's the reason why the construction company is dominated by the Italians. These high-risk positions, and fire department as well. A lot of Irish and a lot of Italians took those high-risk jobs because they couldn't get hired in other places because they had the Irish need not apply, no WOPs. You know, there was a high amount of that discrimination for those groups, and they could only take the jobs where they might lose their lives.
And not only did they face that here in this country, they faced that in their own country.
Oh, yes. You were Southern?
I mean,
you were Southern.
And we were hired in hip-hop because we were talented.
And I shouldn't say they, I should say we, because I am definitely a proud Irish person.
You were hired in hip-hop because only black people would wear cross colors in Carl Kani. That's the reason.
if you ever get
to backwards.
To put their pants
we're
on
hired in basketball. We're hired in football.
Wait,
if you ever get the chance.
Michael Johnson said something today about athletics that pissed people off.
Oh, were you talking about how the slave can run fast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He pulled a Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah, he sure enough did. But you know what? Not enough. You know, Jimmy the Greek says it. It's all over the news. Michael Johnson says it. It got one blurb on Yahoo.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like it's not true. I mean, it's not totally correct, but it's totally
night.
True.
Absolutely. Edward, what did you want to say? Just end this off.
Just if you ever have the chance, read this book. The title is Race and Economics, if you haven't already, by Walter Williams. And
okay.
he just goes into history and tells you how the minimum wage laws and unions have destroyed black labor in this country.
Really?
How we're actually doing worse now as far as being hired for jobs once minimum wage laws is passed and unions.
That's right.
I mean, numbers came out today that said that the black unemployment rate is way higher than anybody else's.
14.3% is the unemployment rate. It raised from 13.6. It's
for
all
black people.
For blacks, for African Americans as a whole.
Total 8.6.
Kind of keep a brother down.
Yeah, your favorite president is keeping everybody down. Thank you guys, of course, for a spirited discussion. Derek, are you still there? No, of course he's not.
Derek is probably copping himself another pair of Air Jordans.
That's probably what's happening. Thank you guys. Hey, Edward and Mike, and of course, JC, you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Of course, there'll be plenty
Monday.
This weekend.
Monday.
All right. I love you guys. Thank you again, always, for calling in. That's our show for this week, and we will see you on Monday. Holla back.